We're going to continue on the series I've been teaching on about following the Spirit, and give you just a little tiny bit of background if you haven't been around or have missed a few weeks. The idea that the Scriptures teach is that we're to follow the Holy Spirit. That He's the guide in our lives. He directs us. And so that's what we've been talking about. I don't know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit. I don't even know that I know most of what there is to know about the Holy Spirit, but I know some things about the Holy Spirit, so I'm just trying to share some things that I've learned over the years and you know from the Scriptures. I encourage you to open your heart and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And the Holy Spirit speaks in, as we talked about the first week, thousands of different ways. I mean, there's all kinds of ways the Holy Spirit speaks. It just as variety of people there are, the Holy Spirit speaks. There's some common ways He speaks, and obviously the most common ways through the Scriptures, but there's all kinds of other ways. And here's the verse we've been working from, and it's be up on your screen. It says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." So we're living by the Spirit. This Christian life, as I talked about the first week, it's a spiritual life. It's not just something we do in the flesh, not something we just, you know, cinch our belt up and pull our boots up and then live this life. It's something that's done by the power of the Holy Spirit in a person's life when they surrender and yield their lives to Jesus. The English Standard Translation says this. It says, "Let us keep in step with the Spirit." I like that, the way they put that. And just the whole idea, the first week I used the three-legged race thing, you know, where you got the middle leg tied together and, you know, you're just, if you're working with the Spirit and and cooperating, then all kinds of things happen in life versus fighting. Point over the weeks, and I'll mention it a couple times today. A.W. Tozer said this, because we're talking about the Spirit, and so sometimes it can get confusing. So are we talking about the Spirit, but we also talk about Jesus, we also talk about the Father, this thing called the Trinity that I'm not going to go into detail on, but as the church has called the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity for 2,000 years. And so A.W. Tozer says this, "All of God does all that God does." So when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit doing something, it's not just like the Holy Spirit's doing that, but the Father and Son, they're all doing everything God does. All of God does all that God does. So one of the things, and why we're talking about Him speaking to us, and we'll actually finish up next week on this idea, is one of the common ways the Holy Spirit works. You know, He convicts, He leads into truth, He disciplines us. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But one of the common ways is He speaks to people. He's like Isaiah talked about, He's not a God in the sense that they had gods back then that were, you know, the sculptured out of wood or stone or whatever it happened to be. And Isaiah said this, "He's not a God who has ears who doesn't hear and eyes that doesn't see or a mouth that doesn't speak. But God hears, God sees, and God speaks." And that's one of the common ways the Holy Spirit works. Here's one of the verses that Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. He says, "When the Father sends the Advocate," that's the name that Jesus used here for the Holy Spirit, "when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative," that is the Holy Spirit, "He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you." Again, all of God does all that God does. So I started last week by talking about just a couple of general things, and I want you to catch them. So if you weren't here last week, or maybe this is, you know, your first time here, I want you to catch this. Everything God speaks and everything God's doing in people's lives that are following Him is working to make them like Jesus. He wants to make your character and your nature to be like Jesus. That's what He's working to do. Everything that's going on, doesn't matter, you know, whatever's happening in your family, whatever's happening in your workplace, whatever's happening in your finances, with your health, whatever it happens to be, and everything that God speaks is connected to the idea that He wants to make you more like Jesus, and He wants to make me more like Jesus. And if it's not only that, the second idea was that He's also constantly, when He's at work, He's at work in my life, He's at work in my life at, you know, here at the work, or your life at work, He's not only working to make me like Jesus, but He's also constantly at work to bring people who are outside or not reconciled, not connected to God, to bring them to the place where they're connected to God. He's always at work to doing that. Many of you have heard my story. You know, at 19 years old, God's not on my radar whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, this little blip showed up on my radar, and I started thinking about God. And next thing you know, I mean, there's just all these changes begin to take place in my life. God is constantly at work, and many of you could say the same thing. I was, you know, I hadn't been in church, I did whatever happens to be. And then all of a sudden, something started happening in my spirit. And that was God at work, because that's what God's always working to do, is to reconcile lost people. One of the ways the Bible talks about it, to reconcile lost people to himself. He's always at work to do that. So if we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, one of the key ideas is the idea of listening. You and I cannot follow the Holy Spirit. We cannot keep in step with the Holy Spirit if we're not trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. But we would all admit listening's not easy, is it? It's just not easy to do. Listening doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural for any of us to be listening. Matter of fact, listening is a self-denial activity. Isn't that how it works? I mean, because if I'm the one talking, the focus is on me. I'm the center of it. If I'm the one, like right now, I'm the one talking, not you guys. And so I'm kind of the guy you're all paying attention to, or at least trying to stay awake to. Okay? So that's talking makes me the center of it. Listening makes the person I'm listening to the center of it. And we like being the center. Don't we? I mean, and so we like talking. We like telling our story instead of listening to other people's stories. Listening, it just doesn't come natural. But whether we listen or not is really in our control. You know, last week I talked about the whole idea of, you know, a dimmer switch. You know, some of you have dimmer switches in your house, and, you know, some of them go up and down. Some of you press a button. Some of you dial, whatever. But they all work on the same principle. And the idea is not that, you know, this is how I used to look at it. I don't know how you've looked at it, but this is how I used to look at it, was that when I, you know, manipulated the dimmer switch, that less electricity was coming into my house. Okay? Wouldn't that be great? Because you just dim it, you know, and you turn the heat down, all those things, and less, you know, less electricity. The same amount of electricity is coming to your house all the time. What a dimmer switch does is it increases resistance. That's what it does, is it increases resistance so that it lowers the actual power that's going to the light bulb, not by changing the electricity that's coming into your house, but by resistance. That's what it does. Well, there's all kinds of things in our life that create resistance, and that's what we're really talking about here, is how do I remove resistance from my life so that I can hear more clearly what the Holy Spirit's trying to say to me? That's really what I'm wanting to talk about, is that how do I remove resistance? Because I have control of that. The Holy Spirit speaks the same all the time. But I either have resistance that's not listening, or I've removed the resistance so he can speak to me. Everybody with me? And we all know this. Because there's been times the Holy Spirit's been trying to talk to us, and we go, no, I don't want to hear this. Whatever it happened, we don't want to hear. We just like, oh, I don't want to hear that. And that's, we're just putting up resistance. So some of the ways, that, and I mentioned a few of these last week, and I missed really two of them, and then we're going to get on to some new stuff. The first and major resistance is sin. It's just sin. You know, whenever we're doing something we know we shouldn't be doing, whenever we're doing something that God's Word has told us not to do, or we're not doing something God's Word has told us to do, then it's disobedience. You know, and I remember clear back in Youth with a Mission in school, one of the things people talked about was, why would God give you new things to do and new instructions when you don't do the previous instructions? Why would he do that? I mean, it's like, just think about it in the work world. You know, if you're an employer, and many of you are employers, and you tell your employee to do something, you tell your employee to do something, and then it's like, well, you know, it's almost like, I don't want to do that. Could you give me something new? It's like, I don't think so. Maybe you need to go to another employer, right? Isn't that how you'd handle it sometimes? Although we live in this world where everybody's got to be cautious about telling someone, go work for someone else because of wrongful termination. Which, again, if a guy or a woman's not listening to you, why would you keep them employed? They're also quiet. But you, do you know what I'm talking about? Or you're parenting, and you're like, you know, you tell your kid, and, you know, they're not listening. They're not paying attention. They're not doing what you want to do. Like, would you tell me something different, Mom? I don't think I'm going to tell you something different. I've told you, and you do it. Well, God's the same way. Why, if we're not doing what God has instructed us to do, either to do the thing he's instructed us to do or put an end to the thing he's instructed us not to do, why would God give us new instructions? He's like, he's just going to keep reminding. One of the ways God works is he will always bring the thing back around the mountain. I mean, you're like on one side of the mountain and he's told you to do something and you just keep traveling. You're going to come back to that again. You will bump up to the exact same thing again because God doesn't let us let those things, you know, let us forget those things. Doesn't he do that? He just reminds us and reminds us and reminds us. James said this, Jesus' brother James said this. He said, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's sin. If you know there's something you're supposed to do and you're not doing it, it's sin. If there's something you know you're supposed to stop and you keep doing it, then the Bible just says it's sin. That's what it is. And it's the number one thing that brings resistance from me being able to continue to hear the Holy Spirit. It's the number one thing that puts resistance in our life. Let me give you some others. Sometimes people don't even know that God's trying to speak to them. There's a great story in the Old Testament that some of you are familiar with, maybe many of you are familiar with, and it's regarding this young boy named Samuel. Samuel was born to, you know, Hannah, and he's now, you know, taken after a period of time. He's taken to the temple to work with the priest Eli. And so he's in the temple. He's working with the priest. You know, he's lighting the candles, and he's taking out the trash, and, you know, all these various kinds of things. Well, one night he lays down to sleep next to the altar, and here's what it says. It says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, this is an interesting line. He says, now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. That's how the New Living Translation says it. Just think about this for a second. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. Now, when this was written, what's the idea here? The idea is that there was a time period where words from the Lord were common. And visions were more common. Because if you say, now in these days they weren't very common, that means there was a time when they were common. Okay, the implication is. It says, one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, he's the priest, had gone to bed and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And so Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of the Covenant. Suddenly the Lord called out to Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? And he got up and he ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called again, Samuel. And again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. It's interesting that Eli doesn't understand what's going on here. I mean, Samuel, we could understand. He doesn't know what's going on. But it's interesting, Eli doesn't know what's taking place here. And then it goes on. It says, now I can find my place. I did not call you, my son. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, for your servant is listening. You know, sometimes people don't hear what the Holy Spirit's saying because they don't know the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to them. Some of you have heard me talk about when I was 12 years old, or somewhere around 12 years old, one Saturday afternoon, I just decided, you know, I'm going to go to church tomorrow morning. And whether my family goes to church or not, I'm going to go to church. And so I got, you know, dressed up in my seersucker jeans. if you're old enough to remember, you know, but I didn't have Levi's. And some of you heard me talk about that. I always wanted the little red tab, but I got Sears jeans from the catalog, you know, and they didn't fit. Anyway, but I got them, put my clothes on, got on my bike, and I rode to church. And my family comes from a Catholic background, so I went to the Catholic church. That's the only thing I knew. And went in and sat right in the very front of church, of the row, right there. And you know, the church is going on, and I'm trying to pay attention to what's going on. And you know, at some point, I'm still standing, and I look around, and everybody else is sitting down, because you know, in the Catholic church, if you're not Catholic, there's this stand up, sit down, fight, you know, kind of ritual you do through the church service. And you know, so I mean, I didn't know, and I'm standing, and I look around, and go, okay, I guess I better be seated. And another time I'm standing and then everybody's kneeling, because in the Catholic church they have kneelers in front behind the pew, so you just flip them down and everybody's kneeling and I'm still standing. I had no idea what I was doing. But I look back, you know, years later, I look back and there was something happening in my heart. And I recognize that it was, in a sense, it was the Lord saying, Matt, pay attention. Matt, I got something I want to do in your life. Matt, pay attention. I mean, it took me a long time to realize that event at 12, when I decided I'm going to go to church, that was the Lord whispering to me. I didn't know it. I could be just like Samuel. I didn't know it because I hadn't yet had a word from the Lord. But I recognize now, all the years later, and I mean, for a number of years, I've recognized that was the Lord calling me. And many of you have had that same thing, where something's happening, and then all of a sudden, whatever, I mean, whether it's a whisper, whether it's a dream, whether it's a recurring person in your life, whatever it happens to be, and then all of a sudden you realize, okay, wait, this is because God's trying to say something to me. This is because God's trying to get my attention over something, whatever it happens to be. And so sometimes one of the resistances, we just don't know that the Lord's trying to speak to us. And again, just people in our church, and I can start pointing out people who walked into church one Sunday, you know, and you know, there's people sitting in this room that just walked into church one Sunday. They were not churchgoers, they were not church people, but walked into church, not because of something I did, not because of something necessarily someone else did, but they just walked into church, and next thing you know, their lives was changed. I've told this story before about a woman who worked at one of the local lumber yards here who walked into church one Sunday, and I knew her from the lumber yard. And I said, oh man, it's so good to see her. She came in the door right over there. I said, oh, it's so good to see her. I was so excited to see her in church. And man, because I pray for business people I have for years prayed for business people all across this community, especially people I interact with. So excited. And she gives her life to the Lord. And I mean, God just starts rearranging this woman's life. She lives in Texas now, you know, walking with the Lord. But I mean, just rearrange. It was just something God was doing, stirring in her heart. Sometimes people don't recognize, okay, the reason I'm even thinking about this stuff, the reason I'm even thinking, maybe I need to go to church, maybe I need to read my Bible, maybe I need to pray, maybe I need to, it's God's whispering. God's whispering into a person's life. Second idea, another idea, is that sometimes we don't hear what God's trying to say because of all the distractions, all the noise and distractions in our life. You know, it's kind of like we lived oftentimes between two radio channels. You know, you're not really cleared into this one, and now you just punch buttons and all that whole thing. But some of you are old enough, you know, like me, to remember when you turned the dial. You know, when I first got married, somebody gave me an old shortwave radio station or radio receiver. And we lived out in the middle of nowhere in eastern Washington, up at 4,000 feet up in the hills. And I strung up a copper wire antenna. I made a triangle, and one of the guys that was a farmer, he said, this is what we did in Vietnam. We just strung this wire. So I did that, and I just ran a wire out and wrapped it around the thing. And I would sit there for hours playing with the little dial, because you could pick up Brazil and you could pick up Russia, you could pick up places all over the world. But oftentimes, until you finally got it like tuned in, I mean, you're halfway between each station. And that's oftentimes how we live, halfway between stations. Not really picking up exactly what the Lord's trying to, not exactly picking up the Lord's signal. You know, sometimes, and maybe some of you sleep to white noise. You know what white noise is? White noise is all of the frequencies. Now, sometimes things are called white noise. It's not really white noise. But real white noise is all of the frequencies that it's possible for the human ear to hear. And because you're hearing them all at the same time, you can't distinguish a certain voice. You can't distinguish a certain sound. That's why white noise, so you can't pick out, you know, the various things that are going on because you're hearing, you know, that the white noise thing. And sometimes that's where we live. Again, just in a life of white noise, where everything around us, and it's just complicated now by the phone we carry all the time and social media and, you know, it's just this noise, you know, all the time. Kind of like the Grinch, you know, is up on the mountain and he hears the Who's down in Whoville all singing. And what does he go? He goes, noise. I mean, am I the only one that feels that way? Or are you thinking I look a little bit like the Grinch in my green sweater? But that's how we, isn't it how we live? I mean, it's like we just live in this, you know, like all this noise going on all the time. I remember one time I was at a prayer conference in Portland, and Joy Dawson, who was this great Bible teacher, loved her from Youth with a Mission, and she was at the conference, and she was one of the speakers. And one of the reasons I even wanted to go to this conference is because I wanted to see Joy Dawson. I'd seen her before. I wanted to go see her. And Joy Dawson gets done. She's, you know, 80 years old at the time, or 75, or whatever she is. And she's teaching about prayer. And at the end, she says, okay, and now we're going to have a prayer time. And I don't want to hear a sound in this room. She said, because it is so noisy in this room with all the worship and people praying out loud that you couldn't even hear God speak to you if God wanted to talk to you. I want silence in this room, you know. And of course, knowing who she was, there was no noise. There was no noise. It was just silent. But the idea, there's so much noise all the time. You know, we live in this world where there's just noise and noise going on all the time. And it becomes hard to distinguish sometimes what's taking place. So the sons of Korah wrote some of the book of Psalms. And in book of Psalms 46, it says this, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." What are they referring to? Even back then, there is the reality that sometimes you just have to be still to actually sense what God's trying to say, what God's trying to do. Blaise Pascal, a few centuries ago, he said this, "The sole cause of man's unhappiness is that he does not know how to stay quietly in his own room." I mean, as an exercise, just try it. And I'm going to give you some homework at the end. But just try it. Just to turn off everything. Whatever it is, it would be noise. And just to try and focus your thoughts. I bet you can't do it for a minute. Have you tried it? It's hard. It's really hard to just sit with no stimulation coming whatsoever. And then to try and think, because your mind wants to make stimulation, because we're all so used to living with constant stimulation. But just to sit, and to quiet the outside noise, and more so even sometimes, it's quieting the inside noise. Everybody with me? I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to do. And because of that, again, it's easier to focus on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. It's easier to focus on those things than what might God be trying to say? What might God be trying to say to us? The second idea that's kind of a cousin of this one is the whole idea of busyness, Again, we just are so busy all the time. And maybe you're like, nah, that's not my life. Many of us in this room, that's our life. You're just busy. I mean, you're just so busy all the time. And all of that busyness makes it hard to find that time to sit and be quiet and be still. And Madeline Engel says, "When I'm constantly running, there's no time for being. And when there's no time for being, there's no time for listening." Just the busyness of all that's going on. I'm going to borrow from Mark Batterson's book, and actually we had two different families buy our books. So the book I recommended or referenced last week, we just don't do this very often, but there's some amount in the foyer, just take one. Or if you want to leave a donation, you can put $10 or whatever in the little box out there, but Mark Batterson's book. I want to give you a little thing from Mark Batterson, and then I'll make reference to this. He says this. He says, change of pace. Just think about your life. Just change of pace in a person's life. You know, slowing down from the busyness. Just making a change. This is oftentimes what vacations are. This is the purpose of what the Sabbath is supposed to be. That there's just a change of pace in a person's life. Change of pace plus change of place. Change of place. Like sometimes, okay, so I'm in this certain place and it's just distraction, distraction, distraction. You know, like when I'm meeting with couples or individuals to coach, I don't do it in my office because my office is so, there's so many distractions to me in my office. I don't want to be distracted. I just want to be in a room with the person or the couple and not have all the distractions that are going on. Okay? So change of pace plus change of pace, he says, equals change of perspective. So let me tell you how this works for me. Is Barbara and I, you know, doing life. You know, we had 5 kids, now we got 7 grandkids, and, you know, I mean, just all the stuff that's going on. And sometimes we can just be like, feel like we're ships passing in the night. You know, you're just like, you know, you bump into each other and so on. But for us, when we get a chance to change our pace and change our place, go away, then all of a sudden now you find yourself having some conversations that are really conversations. They're not like, oh yeah, we got to remember to get bread when we, you know, go to Costco or, you know, those kinds of conversations. I mean, real conversations. Real conversations about us, real conversations about our kids, real conversations about grandkids, whatever that happens to be. You start, and I see a whole bunch of people shaking their head like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Because you get away, and that's part of the whole thing people talk about date nights, is you get away out and you change the pace, you change the place, you change the perspective. And sometimes that's what's necessary for us to try and have, you know, to actually be able to hear what's going on. Another person said it this way, make time for quiet moments as or because God whispers and the world is loud. Isn't it interesting that one of the things that was said about Jesus was this? Jesus often withdrew to the, this is just one of a whole bunch of verses in the scriptures. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He just got away. You know, he just got away. And if Jesus needed to do that, if Jesus who had, Jesus had no resistance, you know, talking about resistance, there was no resistance in Jesus' life. There was no sin in Jesus' life. There was no distraction in the sense that Jesus lived a resistantless, if that's even a word, resistantless life. Well, if Jesus had to get away to remove the resistance, isn't there times we just got to get away, find out how to do that? You know, Susanna Wesley, mother, her 2 boys started the Methodist movement. You know, it's told of her, she would oftentimes just she'd sit in the middle of the room and, you know, because she had 17 kids. So, 17 kids. I said 17 kids. And she'd just take her apron, she'd just pull it up over her head. And when she was under that apron, that was her time to focus and to be with the Lord. And the kids knew, don't bother mom. She's in her prayer place right now. She's in her prayer closet. Some other times she used a blanket. But again, it can be so hard. And, you know, thinking of young moms in the room, it just can be so hard to find time. You can't even go to the bathroom without the kids bothering you. Right, moms? I mean, it's just the way it is. You're just like, they're driving me nuts. Grandma, help. But you got to do what you can to try and find those moments. To find those moments to get away from distractions. And one of the byproducts is focus. When you change your pace, you change your place, you not only change it, you get a different perspective, but the ability to focus. You know, one of the things that are around our house, and many of you have the similar kind of thing, we have owls around our house. And love seeing them, and you can hear them. They make a unique sound. The babies make a unique sound when they're still nesting, before they're, you know, now able to fly. They make this unique sound. Barbara can make the sound. I can't make it. But a few years ago, when our oldest son and his family were living with us before they, you know, moved to Chicago, and then before they moved to Bellingham, Nathan, our oldest, he figured out that when that sound, you just go listen for that sound. And you hear that sound, and it's a unique, it's like a whistle almost. they're calling for mom to bring food. And so you'd hear that sound, and then you just go out and you start looking in the trees. Sure enough, there it is. But you take someone out there and they go, I can't hear that sound. I can't hear that sound. And then if you're like, well, just listen. Just listen. Is that it? No, that's not it. Just listen. And then they'll go, oh, now I hear it. Now I hear that sound. And when they hear that sound, it's like the light goes on. Now, oh, I hear that sound. And then they can spot, you know, they spot the owl. And they're just babies, you know, sitting in the tree. But what happens is when you finally get quiet and you finally focus, it's like, okay, now I'm hearing. Now I'm hearing what the Holy Spirit's saying. Now I'm hearing what the Holy Spirit wants to say to me about my work, my wife, my kids, my finances, whatever it happens to be. So again, it enables you to grab focus. One more thing, and then we won't finish today, but one more thing is sometimes we don't hear what the Holy Spirit's trying to say to us because we expect the Holy Spirit to say something to us. In this way, not that I want you to expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you, but don't expect what he's going to tell you. Does that make that? Because like I'm going to pray and I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me and I really want the Holy Spirit to say yes about this guy, or I really want the Holy Spirit to say yes about this boy, or that I really want the Holy Spirit to say yes about this job or this house or whatever it happens to be. I really want the Holy Spirit to say, no, I don't have to take that job. No, I don't have to do that. You can't expect always that you're going to know what the Holy Spirit wants. Because if you already knew, like, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to say, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to say it, does he? Like, do I need to do this? Well, if you're already asking the question, it may be because you already know you need to do that. When I was in Australia, Barbara and I had been friends all through junior high and high school, and then I went off to Australia to Youth with a Mission, anyway, all these things happened, and so all of a sudden it became apparent that Barbara and I were going to get married and, you know, get engaged and get married. Anyway, I'm coming back from Australia, and I had left in really bad circumstances with my parents. It was really stupid how I left, and so I left, and so Barbara, I'm coming home, and Barbara's thinking one day, she's praying, but she's also kind of, you know, just daydreaming praying. Do you want to? But I'm like, you're praying about something and you just keep praying about it. And she said, you know, well maybe Matt will call me and ask me if I can go to the airport with his parents. And then she thought, no, I better not, you know, do that because he needs that time to, you know, make amends with his parents. And so we're not going to do that. And then she says, oh, but maybe he'll call me and ask me to go to lunch. And then she said, oh, I can't go to lunch. I got to go to the doctor. Well, maybe he'll call and ask me to, you know, say, well, I'll go sit in the doctor's office with you, and then we'll go get lunch. And, I mean, it's like one thing after another. She's kind of dreaming, kind of praying, all these things. Well, lo and behold, I get back, you know, I call her and say, hey, or write her and say, hey, why don't you meet me at the airport? And she says, no, I'm not going to because you need to get right with your parents. And, okay. And then, but then I get home, and I go, hey, you want to go to lunch tomorrow? She says, I can't go to lunch tomorrow. I got to go to the doctor. And I said, well, I'll go sit in the doctor's office with you. And she said, okay, great, and then we can go get lunch. I mean, it's like exactly what she would been praying and thinking would happen. Of course, now she would say, I should have asked her something much bigger. You know, I mean, like, I'm asking, he'll call me, and, you know, I should have asked her, you know, I don't know what she was thinking, a diamond ring. She probably was thinking a car, because I had no car, I had no money, had no diamond ring in it, you know, so she's probably, that's, you know, kind of what it would, like, she should have asked for a house, you know. And, but that God doesn't always work that way. We have to realize that God is who God is, and God will speak how he wants to speak, when he wants to speak, and in the way he wants to speak. And we have to let God be that, because that's exactly. So if you get in the habit of expecting or demanding that God speaks in a certain way, you are going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. You just got to let, now again, there's certain ways God does speak to, like, to me, maybe different than he speaks to you. It's easier for me to recognize when God's speaking because there's certain ways I know God speaks to me. And you got to figure out what that looks like. You know, like a Gloria. Gloria sees pictures. Bill has seen visions. You know, I've never had an angel visit me. I've never had an audible voice. I just get these little thoughts. I just get these little thoughts. I've told this story, but let me just tell it one more time, and then we'll wrap this up. One time, we had a woman a number of years ago who was in a car accident, and the driver of the car accident, the driver in the other car died in this car accident, and really tragic situation. And one day, there's a sign on the road. If you go between Maxwellton Road and Coles Road on the right, there's a sign right there in memory, you know, drive carefully because of this guy. And so I'm driving by there one day, and I was thinking about the whole thing, and I'm thinking about, this was about a year and a half after the event happened, and I'm thinking about the woman from our church, and I'm thinking about the accident, I'm thinking about the guy dying, and I just thought, I just had this thought that came into my mind, this impression, this idea. And it was, I should go buy something from our church to the woman from Bayview Farm and Garden. And so I just kept going and drove into Bayview Farm and Garden, got a gift certificate for $200 from our church to her. And then I called the pastor of the church she went to at the time and said, hey, could you set up where we could all get together? Because I just want to talk to this woman and I have a gift for her. So they set it up. And so I went in and, you know, she was not happy. She's, you know, not happy for our church's support. How could you support, you know, this woman who, after what has taken place? And I said, you know, to her, I said, you know, as a pastor, she's part of our family, and, you know, you may be unhappy with what your kids are doing, and you don't agree with what your kids are doing, but it doesn't mean you, you know, disown your kids. They're still your kids. I said, in the same way, that's, as a pastor, that's what you do. So we're just going to love her, and we're going to support her. And then we talked about forgiveness, and I said, you know what, could we pray? And we prayed, and I said, you know, I got a gift for you from our church, just to say how sorry we are that someone from our church killed your husband. And it was that kind of simple thing. And so she said, well, could I open it? And I handed her the card. She said, can I open it? And she opened the card, and she just started sobbing. And when she finally stopped sobbing, she said, you know, my kids are coming home this weekend, and I wanted to get something that we could plant out in the yard in remembrance of Dad, in reminding of Dad. And she said, and I went to Bayview Farm and Garden and thought, I can't afford anything here. And she said, so I drove up to Oak Harbor to Home Depot, and I looked there, and there was nothing appropriate at Home Depot, and I just thought, well, it's just not going to happen. And she said, now I can go buy this plant. It was just a thought that came to my mind. That's all it was. It was just this little impression. But I've been doing this long enough that when I get a thought like that, I can sense it's the, those of you that have been around for a long time, remember when we used to do the banquets before COVID? We did the banquets for the good cheer. I told you I'd tell you one story, I'll tell you one more. Do the banquets for good cheer, and we would, the good cheer food bank, we'd do a banquet. We'd put it on, we host it, we serve it, clean up, cook, you know, the whole thing. Many of you were involved in all that. That all just came from one day I'm driving down the road, and I thought, you know what, we should put on a banquet for good cheer. And so I thought, we should do that. This thought came to my mind. And I knew that if I could have Beth, those of you that remember Beth, if I could have Beth on my team, then we could do this. So I called Beth. I said, Beth, are you in? And she said, absolutely, we're in. And so I went to the person who was the executive over Good Cheer, who I knew, and I said, Kathy, this is what we'd like to do. And she started crying. She said, Matt, we've wanted to do this. This was 2008, 2009 when we first started that. She said, we used to say thank you and banquet, and we wanted to do that, but we've spent all of our money buying food for people in our community. We don't have the resources to do it. But now this gives us the ability to do this banquet. It just came out of a thought. That's how God speaks to me. It's not, I don't see lights and, you know, there's not stuff in the clouds and, you know, fireworks going off. I just got a thought that comes into my mind. And again, over time, I've learned when that thought comes, I think this is the Lord speaking to me and telling me to do something. So you can expect God to speak to you. And you can expect God to speak to you the way God speaks to you. But, if you're expecting God to say a certain thing to you about a certain matter, you may be disappointed. You may be disappointed. But it doesn't mean you don't listen. Here's your homework. Here's your homework. And here's what I want you to do someday this week. Get alone. Don't take your phone with you. Don't take your iPad with you, at least if it's hooked up to the internet. Find some time where you can just be quiet. just to be quiet, just to remove distractions. Don't do it in your office if you're an office person like me that just gets so distracted by your office. Don't do that. You know, and find some place. I mean, I don't know what your distraction. I mean, there's home, there's housework to do. There's, you know, yard work to do. There's all kinds of things that can distract us. Figure out how to have a few minutes alone. And just try it. Just try even for a minute just to let yourself be undistracted. Some of you are looking at me like, this will never happen. let me just challenge you. Let me just encourage you. And you might just find yourself starting to be able to focus. Maybe it's in the car. Maybe you drive. Turn off the radio. There's nothing that important on that radio. Or turn off the iPad or the iPod, that's old. iPhone. Just turn off the distractions. And say, Lord, the prayer we're going to pray in just a minute. Lord, speak, because your servant's listening. Lord, speak, because your servant's listening. Lord, speak, because your servant's listening. Good idea is take your Bible with you. Let's have your Bible open in front of you. Let's all stand together. The prayer is going to be up on the screen. And if you're new to, like, I don't even know a whole bunch of what this guy's talking about, the Lord will teach you. The Lord will teach you, because the Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. Maybe you being here today is part of the process of the Lord saying, I want to speak to you. I got things I want to say to you. I got things I want to do in your life. So keep hanging in there. Keep hanging in there and letting the Lord teach you about hearing from him. Let's pray this prayer out loud together. We can read it out loud, but make it a prayer as we read it. We're not just reading. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Do it a couple more times. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Well, Father, I pray that you would continue the work you're wanting to do of teaching us how to hear the Spirit, because how can we keep in step with the Spirit? How can we follow the Spirit if we do not hear what you're saying, Holy Spirit? So Lord, as we talked about last week, the words of Jesus, give us ears to hear. Give us ears. Give us listening ears, not distracted ears, not ears that pick up all the white noise around us, but give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God's saying. We want to hear you. We want to hear what it is you're saying. And Lord, you've got unique ways. There's all kinds of different people in this room, and there's all kinds of different ways you speak. Lord, help them to understand the unique way you speak to them, that they would be able to hear your voice. They would be able to follow the promptings of your voice. They would be able to keep in step with you. Not only those in the room, but those that are participating online and will participate throughout the week online. Lord, teach us how to hear. We want to hear what you're saying to us. In your name we pray. Say amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. There's going to be some folks from our leadership team up here that are available. If you need prayer for anything, don't leave here without having someone pray with you if you're looking for prayer. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.